Good evening, everybody, or morning, or afternoon, whenever you're listening to it. Good times. Welcome to episode 106 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
And one of the people you're listening to on this podcast right now is sick.
Guess which one?
See if you can figure out by the end of the show
Wait.
Who it is.
Oh, no, guess which one?
Ow! The coffee burned me!
I hit Josh, and he spilled his coffee.
You hit him with hot coffee?
No.
You gave him? Like, you insisted that he drink?
I hit him with my hand, but it's his fault that he can't handle it.
Why did you hit him?
Because I was being stupid.
He was pretending to be
stupid. I deserved it.
He was being a butthole.
He's always a butthole.
Well.
We don't hit him for 105 previous episodes.
Not always sitting next to him when he's being a butthole.
Also, when I was a kid, the coolest station in Philly radio.
Eagle 106.
Eagle 106, bro.
Holy shit. You know how old we are that we know Eagle 106? Do you remember that?
I know exactly how old I am.
What kind of radio station was it?
It was like classic rock and shit, right?
It was, no.
Or all rock.
At the time, it was just like, it was like the hit
Aerosmith.
Station. It was like what MMR is now. Like, it was like, no, not Aerosmith. Get the fuck out of here with that.
100%. They were playing Aerosmith.
They didn't play rock. They played pop. It was more.
What?
Okay.
They didn't play Aerosmith?
They definitely played Aerosmith.
You don't even know what we're talking about.
That's right. Not just because I'm afraid she'll hit me again.
Oh, shit. Stockholm Syndrome sets in a minute and 35 seconds
in. Isn't Zane your favorite person on this podcast?
No.
She's definitely mine.
No, she's in my top three. I wouldn't say she's my favorite.
Top three?
Dan is gesturing to me to make sure that I say that he is my favorite person on this podcast.
Dan, you're not on the podcast. Shut up and go ride a bike.
He's in the audience tonight.
He hasn't said anything. It's making me nervous.
We're recording in front of a live studio audience.
Arsenio.
Let's start with Josh. What are you reading?
Oh my god. Nothing. Here's the thing.
I didn't mean to actually cough.
Zane just coughed right
at
me.
I coughed into my tissue. I was trying not to cough into, like, the recording.
Well, when I'm sick next week, I'll have plenty of time to not read in bed.
I'm really sorry.
So we've narrowed it down to who's sick so far, because it's not Josh.
No.
Josh just said when I'm
physically
sick next
sick.
Week.
I'm sorry. I was trying to cough into the couch.
Yeah, that's not. I'm sitting on the couch.
I'm sorry.
Man, you know what? I really want to read the second Name of the Wind.
May I make a suggestion?
Just read it.
Well, that's kind of where I was going.
I have another copy.
Oh, I can give you your copy back?
Yes.
Well, what's your other copy?
It's a paperback.
Yes! Thank you!
So we can trade.
I don't like reading hard books.
You're not going to like it because it's a big one, but we can trade.
What do you mean it's a big one? I don't know.
It's a big paperback. Like, it's not like a little guy.
It has a lot of pages.
Like a miniature paperback? Like a small,
what is
like,
that?
Mass market.
Yeah, mass market.
Oh.
Smaller pages.
Like an airport size copy. It's not one of those.
When my best friend Sam Sykes and I were hanging out, I saw a copy of his book that was all of his books together, and it was huge.
Okay.
And then you found $5.
And then I found $5.
With your best friend Sam Sykes.
Yeah.
Lucky him.
Okay. So you're not reading anything, is what you're getting at?
No. Okay. No, not right now, no.
Scripts
I wouldn't
newspapers
say.
Or magazines or...
No, magazines?
Yeah.
Do they still make magazines?
Yeah, remember
I was
Sean
reading...
sometimes reads Mad Magazine to
I was
us?
In the grocery store yesterday, and I found a Mad Magazine.
Man, I miss that. I miss reading Mad Magazine in the bookstore. Do you think that they'll let us, like, B&E the bookstore, and, like, we can do the podcast there again?
What... But Bert and Ernie?
Bert and Ernie, yeah. Break and enter.
Let us Bert and Ernie the bookstore.
I think the whole idea of breaking and entering is that they don't let you do it. Like, that's why they call it breaking.
Do you think that they would let us?
Do you think
like,
they'd
it's
let
not
us
like
E?
Benevolent yeah. entering.
Zane's right. Do you think that they'd let us just E?
I don't
wouldn't
know.
Have the break.
Can you still get E? Like, get a couple hits of Molly and do the show?
Oh, it's called Molly now.
We
that's
could do
right.
that, too. We could E while we E the bookstore.
Yo, that's... Fucking meta shit.
And then we
there.
Can E when the cops come. Escape.
Oh, man. And then we can E forever. Eat.
Eat?
Yeah, delicious hams.
Forever.
Forever.
Where are my hams at?
This studio audience is fired up tonight.
All right, thanks, folks. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Aww.
This episode being brought to you by Hams. Hams, the most delicious of meat.
You're the ham that was never my dad. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
What's the ham that was his dad? Was your dad Ham?
No.
No. Was his name Hamilton?
No, his name was Jerry.
Jerry?
He's a good guy.
My dad's name is Sam.
Because he introduced you to Ham.
It's almost like Ham.
I kind of feel like I found Ham on my own.
You don't think that your family had anything to do with you finding Ham?
Hard to say.
Chicken
or the egg.
They left you in a field and you, like, found Ham once.
You don't find Ham in a field, Josh. You find it, like, at a buffet.
What, like an old country buffet? Like, is that where they dropped you off? Here, figure it out.
The only place I
said. I was one of seven kids, man. I had to figure a lot of shit
out. $5. Hopefully that's
like
enough.
Where to get the ham.
Yeah, and don't eat mushrooms.
Oh my god. That's right, you don't eat mushrooms.
Yeah, because I'm a human being.
I'm not like a huge fan of mushrooms, but I'll eat them.
Okay, well.
Because I'm not 12.
Neither am I. I'm a grown-ass man.
Oh, interesting.
And I've made food choices.
What else don't you like?
The people who don't read. Zane, what are you reading?
I'm still reading Amberlow.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to follow. It's one of those fantasy books where, like, the author's just kind of, like, dropped me into the world, and I'm getting an introduction by way of, like, just things are happening, and they all have, like, fantasy names and fantasy places, and she's talking about, like, regimes and, like, political stuff, and it's, like, the different political parties, and it's, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's very, catch up. Get caught up.
And, like, and I get it, and I know a lot of times I feel that way when I first start reading a fantasy novel, but, like, this one is, like, who is that? And I'm kind of just, like, okay, I'll just keep going, and maybe it'll start to make sense.
Is it long? Or is it...
It's not particularly long. I haven't had a whole lot of time.
Are those elves? There are elves in it?
I haven't gotten to any, like... super duper fantasy
not
elements.
I forget what altitude did we put it in last week?
I don't know. Described to me as fantasy, and it definitely takes place in like not
Kansas,
not like an earthly realm, or like not a place on this earth,
like a different realm. Yeah,
yeah, like. But
how many moving are like, there?
Humans? Humanoids?
It is. It's all humans so far, and they're living in this place where like it's very much like 1930s. Like they ride like trolley cars, and they eat human food, and they drink human
like
drinks, and like Hams. You know, there's so a lot of the characters are like actors, and they perform at this theater and stuff.
Oh, we should go.
Okay.
Say, how many moons are there, would you guess? That's a good way of telling how high of fantasy it is.
That's a good question.
Oh, I don't think that the moon has been described.
Like what happens at night? Like, if do they have
it
to
just
be, like indoors
night.
At night
no.
and because the mist comes?
There
and...
is. There's some kind of, like, political uprising happening.
I wish.
Right?
But, like, there's no classical fantasy elements to it yet.
But, I mean, is it enjoyable? Like, have you not finished it because you haven't had the time?
I haven't had the time.
It's not good.
No. I haven't had the time. It's a little difficult to, like, get into just because I don't fully understand what's happening. And also because it takes place in, like, this 1920s, 1930s, like, kind of noir type feel. So everyone speaks in, like,
Noir speaks.
Yeah.
It was a Thursday.
Well, and they, like...
She had legs from here to...
Yeah.
Wherever
the
fuck
fifth moon...
And stuff like that.
Wherever we are.
But, it's good. It's just not maybe what I was expecting. And I feel like maybe there's a part of me that's, like, waiting for it to become fantasy. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe it won't become, like, fantasy. High fantasy.
Middling fantasy.
It might be low fantasy.
Fantasy.
I might have finally found low fantasy.
Low fantasy.
You have finally cracked that egg.
Yeah, I did it. Go me.
Cool.
Anyway, Sean, what are you reading?
I am still reading The Outsider by Stephen King. The
Outsiders.
Newest.
I saw that. I was in a bookstore the other day and I saw that and it was huge.
It's not huge for Stephen King. It's 550, 560 pages.
That's actually, yeah, that's not like... He's usually, like, well over 1K.
Well, thank you for backing me up on that, Josh, because when I said that it wasn't huge, Zane rolled her eyes at me and looked at you for, like, can you believe this fucking guy doesn't think 500 pages is a lot?
I just kind of want to get hit again, so.
The sting went away, and I just want to feel something.
I just need to feel something. Zane, you got any more of them slaps?
And it's good. I can't remember what I said about it last week. It's a mix between his, like, he did a detective trilogy, which I thought was, I only read the first one because it was only okay. It's a mix between that like groundedness and straight up horror. Like there's straight up horror elements, like children being murdered and brutalized. And,
oh, that's terrible.
Maybe the wrong guy gets blamed for it.
My God, it's like every fucking Stephen King thing.
Right, yeah. Like, it's like the ultimate Stephen King thing.
And he has, like, a rat that he takes care of in the prison. Isn't that Green Mile? Doesn't he have, like, a friend?
I mean, that happened in another book, yeah.
What book was it?
That was...
What do you know about Stephen King?
You know things.
It was The Green Mile. But there was also...
was it a bird?
Brooks took care of the crow in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
I have a feeling... I feel like I know where it's going. Because, as we've talked about on the show before, modern Stephen King...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wusses out on endings.
Yeah, he's too happy now.
He's
contented.
He's too. It's not too. He's an old man, and
yeah, we talked. We said about Steven Spielberg. This is a good segue. I'm not going to segue right now, but
right now it feels like it's a natural. Segue. It's a natural. But I don't know if it's going where I think it's going to go. I kind of hope
it's not going where you think it's going to go.
There's a couple of clues that makes me think that like he's heard, if not specifically our criticisms. I mean, potentially, specifically our
criticism. He probably
it's
has.
It's definitely because of us.
He might know that my best friend Sam Sykes is also an author. Nailed it.
There's been a few lines uttered by older characters in the book that are like, people accuse me of going soft, or like people accuse me of not, like, so, like, I don't want it to have the happy ending. I want...
Yeah, who likes those?
What's like a happy ending though in a Stephen King novel?
The bad guy gets caught and none of the main characters die.
Does that ever happen?
Yes, in a lot of his recent books.
In It, does it happen?
No, that's not recent. That book's 40 years old.
When was that book written?
40 years ago.
1976? Seven?
I mean, I would guess that it probably between 76 and 82.
I'm gonna go with like early 80s.
I think it's
like
early 80s.
Like 82?
Yeah.
Like that sounds early.
No, you know what, Sean? I'm gonna say like 83.
The best year, 83.
Maybe 84.
The not a good year is 84.
Hold on.
Everyone knows in the 80s the odd years are the best years. Sorry, Zane. You were born in a stupid even year.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It was stupid.
And then the Challenger exploded. Good job.
Don't blame me for that.
Were you there for that scene?
She was there. She was like, watch out for those O-rings. And then it blew up and they were like, Zane!
Actually, we were all wrong. We were all wrong.
What is it?
1986.
Oh, the best year! Wow!
No
way. Who would have thought?
No way.
All right, so we've got a topic.
It has to do with sort of the things we were just talking about.
And it may or may not go well.
Hopefully...
I guess we'll find out.
But you have to stay tuned. Be right back.
Get our disgusting snot out of our face.
Welcome back to episode 106.
Future me, leave
I'm
that in.
I'm cracking the spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Sean.
I'm going to be sick next week. Oh,
have you guys figured out who the sick one is yet?
It's not me.
We'll let you know in the third act.
Oh, stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.
Which one of the Cracking the Spine crew do you think is sick? Is it A, Sean?
Ba-ba-dum.
B, Zane? Or C, the other guy?
Jesus Christ.
Stay tuned. You'll find out.
Sean, what are we talking about?
Well, yeah. I thought I had an idea for a show, and we'll find out if it was a great one.
Man.
This is the worst possible time to be wishy-washy about this.
Yeah, you're not really selling me.
You gotta sell it.
It,
man.
So, here's what I was thinking, you guys. It was not a listener suggestion. It came from me, and I don't listen to this show.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, it was a home run last week.
It was a home run.
Home run.
Home run.
And this week, my idea was, so I had two ideas, and I thought maybe it could be two shows, but then when I talked to my co-hosts, they were like,
no. Who are your co-hosts? They sound really pretty.
They are.
And they it sounds like they have big dicks.
Both of them.
I can only confirm one. And it's
mine.
It's a good size.
It's staggering.
What was I saying? So the idea was, I was reading The Outsider, and it occurred to me.
Every time you say that, I think you're going to say The Outsiders, and I'm like, too. Really? You were reading The Outsiders again?
Josh already made that joke.
Every time you say it,
did
though,
you make it to, did he make it today?
Like, yeah. In the first segment of this week's show.
All right. I know that not a lot of people listen to what I say.
Yeah, but it's usually especially. Like it's not usually anyway.
Listen.
So I was reading it and thinking to my I don't know what it was that got me thinking about I was thinking about that movie The Prestige.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
With Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman
and David Bowie.
David Bowie and Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
And Scarlett Johansson.
What's the one that I always think is The Prestige?
The Illusionist.
The Illusionist.
Yes. With, okay.
Ed Norton.
Yes.
Not okay. As good.
Not bad.
Get them
not
confused. Bad. Are they similar?
They're very similar.
Okay.
It's like a 18th century magician story. Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen, like I've definitely seen The Illusionist, but I don't know
if you've not
seen
The Prestige. I'll give it to you. I have it. You should watch it. It's a great, it's like,
you guys talk about it all the time, but I'm realizing now I think I've seen The Illusionist, but I have not seen The Prestige.
It's like that Christopher Nolan, like, trifecta that he pulled in those years. It's like Prestige, Dark Knight, and there was another one that he did that was incredible.
The Guy Pearce,
the Memento.
Memento.
Yeah, Memento.
So it got me thinking that The Prestige was great. But Christopher Nolan wrote his own movie.
Yeah. He's always his own writer.
And there was a part of me that thought, like, this feels like it could have been a Stephen King movie.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because a lot of what goes on in The Outsider is like double personalities,
right.
And like there are doubles of people.
Right, don't spoil it.
I don't want to give too much away, but it made me think like it would be interesting to see or to live in a universe where like Donald Trump isn't the president and Stephen King wrote the script for Prestige.
Just those two things.
It would be
changed.
Interesting.
Just
it
those
would,
two things.
I would take one or the other.
Yeah, either one. I would pick one maybe over the other.
And it got me thinking, like, what movies can you think of that would have been well served if the script had been written by one of your favorite writers? Okay. Or alternately.
You mean author writers, not movie writers.
I don't want to.
Okay, I got
let's
you.
Not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Okay, what?
The other thing is,
I don't have a baby.
Or bathwater.
Listen, that is a.
I don't take baths. See, that's gross.
That is a metaphor that holds up forever.
I don't want to sit in my own sick.
And the other thought
you
thing.
Get sick in the bathtub.
The second part of it made me think. what books have you read that you think would be translated into a movie? By what director?
I have two really good ones off the bat.
Let's do it.
I said one earlier, and you liked it a lot, so I'll say it again. Mouse on the Motorcycle by Robert Zemeckis.
Dude, that is such a great call.
Because it's like, it would be goofy as fuck, like that like Monster House or whatever.
Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think Zemeckis is the greatest director I've ever seen, no. but he's got his niche.
He's got and his own thing.
His going. Niche is visual effects. Mm-hmm. Like he does a great visual effect movie.
Yeah.
And I think I've always wanted to see The Mouse on the Motorcycle.
How come they never made that anything? I was going
to say, it's weird to me that they haven't.
I wonder if she doesn't let them do it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But like, it's adorable, and the way he makes the motorcycle go is by making the sound. Like, holy shit.
Make the sound, Josh. That's not how I heard it.
No, I can't do that. Don't
He's
make me
a little
do that.
Mouse.
How did you hear it?
How did I hear it?
Like, when you read it, like, what
it's
did you...
It's not a noise that I can make with my mouth, so please don't make me do it.
Can you make it with another part of your body?
I haven't tried, but probably not.
Because for me, like, it was always...
Oh, like a sputter.
Like that. Like,
well, he gets an ambulance, too,
see,
at
Sean
one
can make
point.
That noise with two parts of his body.
I can't do it.
Wait, what?
Potentially three.
You can only make a vibration with two parts. Like, it's both of my lips vibrating.
I can't do it.
Okay. I can't do it with just my top lip.
Okay.
It's the sound of one hand clapping.
Right, exactly.
I can clap with one
hand. I don't know what she's talking about. I think she might be talking about farting.
Is she talking about farting?
I can't fart as prolonged as this.
I mean, I've heard you fart. It's been pretty long.
Not
I've
as long.
I've heard you fart like 72 times in a row, which I kind of counted as one.
What
long.
Is that
long
mean? Enough you to just get... did at me with your hand, Josh.
I clapped.
He's I like,
fucked that up.
It's one hand clapping.
It's
so you had two. So the Mouse and the Motorcycle,
and then I thought one of my favorite childhood books of all time, "The Bridge to Terabithia" by David Fincher.
Jesus fucking Christ!
And it would get.
Holy
brutal.
Shit,
it
man.
Would it's already like sad as fuck, and I'm talking like David Fincher sad.
I really liked the film adaptation of Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah, it's
with Peter Mellark in it.
Oh yeah, it's good, but the book, I don't know. The,
no, it's I mean, it, listen, that's a hard book to do justice by, but I did really like that film. I thought
the book
it was
takes
really
place
sweet.
In like the set like the late 70s. So there's that, like, that, like, ruralness to the rural, you know what I mean? Like, and in the movie, it's, like, 2004 or whatever, so it's, like,
right.
It's not really, like, rural. It's, like, we're still, like, in a small town with, like, we got computers and stuff. So I think it adds to, like, the loneliness of the kids, because, like, they don't have shit to do, you know?
Right.
There's no computers or TV or anything.
Yeah.
I would kind of like to see Tim Burton's The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
Uh-huh.
But... there's a part of me that would like to see it, Tim Burton.
Ed Wood Tim Burton.
Yeah, like...
Oh,
Big
yeah.
Fish Tim Burton.
Big... That's exactly it. It
yeah.
is Big Fish Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't want it to be... I don't want Johnny Depp in it. I don't want Johnny Depp anywhere near
yeah.
it.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's a subtle novel, and it's understated. And Tim Burton used to be able to do subtle and understated. Even
yeah.
when he did...
Every once in a great while, honestly.
But I think Big Fish is subtle and understated.
Of course it is. And I personally fucking love Ed
That's
Wood.
That's a great movie.
But those are, like, basically the only two examples I can think of.
You don't think Beetlejuice is
Eyes.
Understated?
No.
I do not.
No, we don't.
I do not think that.
But I mean, like... compared to, like, later
Alice in Wonderland or
yeah.
fucking Mars Attacks.
Or, what's the, like, his
Attacks.
Willy Wonka? Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Dude, no
Jesus
way.
He just
Christ.
Lets Johnny Depp chew scenery. Like, just...
Yeah, just act my movie for me. That's what he says. And he's like, okay, I'm method acting. That's how method actors talk in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That's about right.
I talk like this, too.
I would also like to see, shit, what's his name? John Frankenheimer? Take a crack at a Dwayne Straczynski novel.
Okay, who's John Frankenheimer?
John Frankenheimer.
Smith.
No.
Yeah.
What
Ronan.
The fuck did you make?
Ronan?
Oh my god, I was just thinking about Ronan the other day. That's crazy. I love that movie.
Like, I think that The
Ooh.
Wheelman or the trilogy shit. I can't think of the character's name. Someone can correct me in the comments.
They will.
They definitely will.
I hope.
That's a thing that
somebody
happen.
Pay close attention.
Maybe Tweets or Ziski will do it.
But I've said for years that his novel Severance Package, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like
yeah.
it is written like Tarantino is directing it.
That's like, that's so weird. I don't know. I always kind of like, sorry, excuse me. Zane's getting me sick already.
If she's the sick one, who knows?
Who knows?
I always think of like movies as like being a different language than a book.
Yeah, you've said.
I know. I say it a lot. I'm a one note pony, Charlie.
but Charlie, like Charlie the pony, play your note.
I don't know. Like it'd be hard.
Sorry.
Are you driving a flute now?
I shouldn't have laughed at that.
And yet here we are.
I don't know. I just think that, like, it's tough to, like, cross-pollinate that. Because authors have their own, like... I always picture authors getting, like, really mad about when they have to make changes in a book. Is that true? I mean, you worked with, like, editors and stuff, right? Did you ever hear stories about authors being, like... I mean, I refuse to change this scene.
Well, I mean, I know that a lot of authors know that when they send their manuscript off to the editor, it will be changed.
Right.
Like that's just the way that it goes.
Right.
And at least on the surface, this is not. I'm not gauging this on any like personal interactions I've had with authors, but I know like just reading on Twitter or blogs or whatever. That authors occasionally will feel like editors step on toes.
Right.
But also, I know from talking to editors that sometimes the process is an editor comes up with an idea for a story and then says, I need an author that can write this book.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the creative process of going back and forth isn't always
that's very much like movies too.
The ownership of an author
or
the ownership of an editor. It really is collaborative. Now, I also read this week that for The Queen of the Damned,
that awesome movie starring Aaliyah,
it's based on an Anne Rice novel.
Yeah, it's the Interview with the Vampire universe, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Lestat is like
it came very late in the Anne Rice process where she was basically the 800-pound gorilla. Like she could
that's
do whatever.
Not very nice.
Well, I mean, it's a colloquialism.
Oh, like now you're calling her a colloquialism.
She could do whatever she wanted.
And, oh, right, because of Interview with a Vampire.
Because she had so much success.
Yeah.
And apparently, when she submitted that manuscript, she said to the publisher, not to the editor, that she would not accept any notes on it.
Okay.
That there would be no corrections.
And then she got a George Lucas movie out of it. Just
well, basically,
and nobody
yeah.
wanted to be like, hey, George, get your shit together. What is this?
So, like, then who...
Who's the check? Yeah, there needs to be a check on that
shit. Who would be a good screenwriter for The Phantom Menace, Josh?
Who would be a good screenwriter for it? Like, oh, man.
Like J.J. Abrams? Like, do you think he could have done it?
No.
I don't know. It seems like he could handle it.
Like, he's really good at
it. You really like his work,
He already did
Josh.
That. He already took the first Star Wars and redid it. Episode 4 is episode 7. And then we had to go to episode 8 to fix all of it. Anyway, who could have done Phantom Menace? That's a great question. I don't know. I think George Lucas could have done Phantom Menace if he was not where he was at that point. Which is a rich white guy living alone for 20 years, having no one to answer to. Like, he just did whatever he wanted, and he was a billionaire at that point. So he was like, well, I'll just make this movie. And my neck waddle says it's very good. I wrote it on my yellow paper. Nobody went like, hey, like, take this scene and get rid of this shit. Fix this shit. He needed somebody to do that.
Agreed. No, I don't disagree with you, but I just, like, I kind of feel like there could have been, a darker element to what was going on there.
Absolutely.
So, like...
There could have been a more Phantom Menace. Like... It's a play on words in the title that doesn't get fulfilled. The Phantom Menace is not the Sith. The Phantom Menace is the kid. And there needed to be more like...
Holy shit, you're right.
More like, what is with the kid? You know?
Hmm.
But instead it's like, I heard Master Yoda talk about midichlorians. What are midichlorians?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, cut that shit out. You don't need that shit. I get what you're going for. It's mitochondria. We got it. Genius. Next. What about the movie? When's the movie go?
When's it go?
When's the movie going?
Mind tricks don't work on me. Only money.
I'm a Tordarian.
Mm-hmm. don't worry. They'll be back. I can't wait to see the next Tordarian. Yeah, with their own spin-off movie.
They're in the Clone Wars cartoon. They're pretty cool. They fly around like little bugs. I don't know, Sean. Who would you pick to be the Phantom Menace writer?
I don't know. It's
that's a hard one.
It is a hard one. I put you on the spot. I didn't have an answer.
I would trust Rian Johnson with anything because I believe he really loves Star Wars. Like, I know for a fact he loves Star Wars because I've seen his like.
But my issue with that sentence is that you believe that George. I'm hearing that you believe that George Lucas doesn't love Star Wars.
I don't know if... I'm not convinced if at that point he did. I really believe at some point... I mean, after that, he got jaded from all the, like, people hating Star Wars. But I'm not sure that he didn't not like it at that point.
I've been saying since it came out... I think that this is being...
Trying to follow all the negatives in that sentence. I'm sorry.
This is being borne out... a lot online is that fans of Star Wars think they know more about Star Wars than the people that make
Wars. I don't think I'm one of those people because I really
like, that's the story of the prequels. Everyone hates the prequels because they think it should have been
a different way. And I don't feel that way, honestly. And I've been called a prequel apologist, which I am sort of, because it's his. He could do whatever he wants with it. Like, it's like reading the book. And you don't like the book. Okay, well, you didn't write the book.
Right.
Write the book next time. I don't fucking know. Write a better fucking movie. I don't know. Make your own billion-dollar space universe you rich.
You know who's a Star Wars script I'd love to see?
Who?
Kim Stanley Robinson.
Who's him?
He wrote an Aurora. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, he's... hard science, futuristic, mm-hmm. but, like, fucking bleak. I want a bleak Star Wars movie. Like, I want, like...
I don't know if you're ever going to get that.
Well, I want it.
I don't know if you're going to get it.
I want it.
It's not really Star Wars.
White American male. That's, therefore, I'm entitled to it.
Where's the thing I want? I want the thing!
If I don't get it, it's probably someone's fault.
No mushrooms, but ham, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. I want the ham Star Wars. The ham of Star Wars.
Zane.
What?
I was going to ask you, who would you want to direct Harry Potter, but like four people directed Harry Potter?
Oh, I don't know who I would want to direct.
What's his name? Chris Columbus?
He did the first two.
Yeah. And the first one is perfect for him because it's Christmas and it's like.
Yeah.
Chris Columbus-y.
Letter-to-letter translation of the book.
Right.
Like, there's no surprises, there's no risks.
Yeah. And the second one's real simple. It's a Save the Princess story. So it's kind of, like, still, like, real, like, that type of thing. But then the third one is, like, cool.
I don't know. Like, you need someone... I think a lot of kind of what got lost and got hammed up, not to use your word.
Yum.
Sean. In the movies. And of course it did, because it's a children's series, and they're children's movies.
Like Star Wars.
Right. But you need someone who's really good with creatures.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the first name that comes to mind is Guillermo del Toro.
Right. That would have been great.
Like, basically every movie he makes is like an impassioned love letter to
Zane
creatures.
I thought she was going to Peter Jackson, but she said Guillermo del Toro.
Yes.
So
yo,
I think Peter Jackson can also hang his hat on creature.
Back
fans.
In the
not,
day,
not that Guillermo del Toro is not, but Peter Jackson cheeseballs things up a lot, and I know that the Harry Potter universe can handle that.
That's kind of made for it. Like, not to be dismissive, but
that if we're talking about like what we. If we're talking about like projecting wants and desires onto the series, I thought, and this is partly like me and what I enjoy, but my favorite parts of the movies were often the parts that were very serious or the parts that were more somber.
Yeah.
Like I liked the first Deathly Hallows movie,
yes.
Which is very slow, and I know why people didn't like it, but I liked how
bleak it is.
Bleak it is,
and it's not even as bleak as the book. I don't think. Like, no, the it's book not. Is like the you're book like, is
rough.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the book is rough, but like I like, you know, how somber and how bleak it is, and it's more. I don't want to use the word realistic, but it's more like grounded. Like the magic is more grounded, and that's very in keeping with the books, because like by the time you get to like the sixth book and stuff,
right, they're all grown up
and, well, and also there's what like the a big part raised. Of what Harry starts to learn it, like when he goes with Dumbledore to the cave, the fucking Fortress of Solitude, he's like watching Dumbledore, like he's never been out in the field with Dumbledore, and he's right. like watching Dumbledore like make try to figure out this cave and like try to solve these puzzles. And he's watching Dumbledore use magic, and he's like, there's a passage in the book where he's like, this is not the magic that I learned in school. Like, this is not waving your wand and, like, reciting an incantation. Like, this is very, very different kinds of magic.
Yeah.
And it's adult magic, you know? And so you start to, like, get into that. Well, no, but, like, you know, like, it's like a puzzle that you're putting together.
Yeah, it's not a lot just more like cerebral. It's
Wingardium not, Leviosa. Like, right. It's not like that.
And well, that's what so, I always
and
thought,
he's,
yeah.
like, kind of, like, watching this, and he's like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, I am a kid, and I'm watching this adult use magic, and it's very different, and the world is very different than I thought
good
it was.
Good thing they have Hermione, because she's the only one
because she's together. Fucking best.
Just to ask, like, do you think that Guillermo del Toro is the best suited to handle that? Because he doesn't, I mean, outside of, like, Pan's Labyrinth, and I haven't seen The Shape of Water
Hellboy.
Yet. Yeah, but, like, Hellboy, Hellboy 2, like, they're very, they're not silly, but they're kind of flighty. There's an yeah. element of, like.
Yeah, the Hellboys are a little silly.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
For sure. And the Harry Potter universe is very silly.
Yeah, there's time
but
for the
I
silliness.
Thought that most of the creatures were not handled well in the films.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I think that the films do lack a lot for that.
It suffers from the time period it was made also. Like, it was a little rough.
For sure.
There was nothing.
I would like to see Paul Thomas Anderson attempt a science fiction story.
Yeah.
And I feel like Paul Thomas Anderson adapting a Neil Stevenson novel.
Yeah, that would make
sense. That'd be a good match.
Like, Anathem.
Yeah.
Like, Anathem is a really long and rich and deep story. That literally spreads across the quantum reality of the multiverse.
Uh-huh.
And I think Stevenson explains it in a way in the novel that makes it very approachable. And I think that PTA is a filmmaker,
right?
Not a movie maker. And I think that Stevenson deserves the film treatment.
Yes, I agree. You think that they'll ever do that, though?
No. I don't think Paul Thomas Anderson will ever take on...
Do you think that they'll make a Neal Stephenson movie?
No. I think really? What you're more likely to see is an HBO series or a Netflix series or a...
But I can see him being a real fucking butthole about licensing that out.
Oh, he is. He has been. Like, they've attempted to make Snow Crash and they attempted to make The Diamond Age. And they're like, you know, all the... second-hand stories that I've heard, because I'm not in the meetings.
why not?
Because I wasn't invited, you guys.
Oh.
Is that they'll say to him, like...
He declined the invitation because there wasn't
him. You know, we love the VR elements of Snow Crash.
They should have made Snow Crash before.
But can we take away the you know, the pseudo-religious? And he's like, no,
it doesn't work that way.
That's my story. Like, and to his credit and not, like, Zane, I think that you, as a fan of Harlan Ellison, would appreciate, like, an author who is kind of a dick about his work. Like he's, no, this is the story that I'm going to tell.
Yeah, this is the story.
And I think, Josh, you would appreciate, like, if it doesn't translate to your medium.
Don't do it.
It's not the fault of my story, it's the fault of the medium. So let's not,
It's the fault of the thinking about the medium, because, like, you... I don't know, like, you can make movies, like, that are great still, that are books, but it's this bullshit that we do, especially now, where it's like, well, it has to be this, and the beat has to be like this, and it's like, does it, though?
Like I think Christopher Nolan or Jonathan Nolan, who does Westworld, could also handle a Neal Stephenson story. Like,
absolutely.
The Westworld team could take on.
Yeah, and it's like a show.
But
yeah.
but then you're running into like the Game of Thrones thing, where it's like if it's done well in the first two episodes, and the next two episodes suck, I'm out. Like I'm out.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough. Because, like, I do like the... I mean, we always come back to this, but I do like the changes, like, from what I understand. Because I know some of the changes that they did in Game of Thrones as compared to the book. And, like, I'm cool with, like, Stoneheart lady not being in it. I think it's fine that she's like...
You're right. I can't believe you're fucking even touching this, dude.
Oh, because he wants her.
Yeah, he's already grumbling.
I heard it.
No, go ahead.
That was maybe
keep
a
going.
Fart.
No, it's fine.
I mean, I'm just okay with it because, like, I think it's impactful in the story that she's dead, and her coming back would work, but, like, there's a lot going on already. Anyway, you know who I think should do Ready Player One? Steven Spielberg.
I actually think that's perfect. I think that if you were going to make that movie...
I'm serious.
Like,
I had a real one.
Oh, you did? Sorry.
No, it's fine. Keep going.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I think Zemeckis would have been good for Ready Player One as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in it. He is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Because he's like the Back to the Future, so it's like...
No, I get that. Zane, what was your one that before we get bogged down in the mud?
Mine was I'd like to see Sofia Coppola do The Girls by Emma Klein.
Okay.
That'd be a fucking match made in heaven. I really like Sofia Coppola films.
I love Lost in Translation.
That's the only one I've seen. Wait, what else did she do?
Virgin Suicides.
Virgin Suicides. I really liked Bling Ring.
I didn't see Bling Ring, but she also did...
Did she do Marie Antoinette.
The Godfather. She did do The Godfather. She also makes wine.
Yeah.
You know her cousin is Nicolas Cage?
Wait, what? Weird. You know Rudy Giuliani married his cousin?
I didn't know that. Not Nicolas Cage's cousin. His very own cousin. Giuliani's cousin.
Yeah.
Cool.
I didn't read The Girls by Emma Klein, so I have a hard time.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's not talk about it.
No, that's not what I said. I don't know what I can offer.
The Girls by Emma Klein, it's a really, really good book, and it's about, it's kind of about, like, this Manson-esque cult. Like in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you talked about it.
It's like first person.
Yeah.
And it's...
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
It's really, really well written. It's such a good book. It's very creepy. It's not a horror book at all, but it's like, it's just really unsettling, and it would be such a, like, 100% it would be such a good Sofia Coppola film. I'm kind of surprised that it isn't already.
That's crazy.
Maybe it's in the works.
Maybe it is.
Let's do it.
Someone call me. Let's get this thing done.
I'd like to see Martin Scorsese's Devil in the White City, since it was
the
teased,
one that's
like,
coming out
fucking 2 years ago.
Yeah, when is it coming out?
Right?
I thought it was supposed to come out this summer.
I don't know if they've even shot.
They might.
I would like to see that movie. Wasn't it going to be like a Scorsese DiCaprio?
Yeah. It's probably going to take like 4 years to make.
And DiCaprio was going to be
Agent
the murderer.
Holmes.
No. The guy, like the guy that builds the hotel.
Okay.
What was his name?
H.H. Holmes.
I'm sorry, I thought you said Agent Chalms.
I also heard Agent Chalms. Could be because Zane's head is full of snot. I heard A.J. Chalms, and I was like, is that the kid's name from...
I thought you were trying to fucking, like, mansplain that book to me.
No, I thought you said Agent Chalms, and I don't remember Agent Chalms.
From The Sopranos. I was like, was his name Chalms? I thought it was A.J. Soprano.
A.J. Chalmers.
Meadow Chalmers.
Super Nintendo Chalmers. All right, I think we got there.
You're welcome, Hollywood Land.
Right? Just make sure you put us in the...
Give me some
special
credit.
Thanks to.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to episode 106 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
I'm Sean. 106 is going to be the average temperature of America this coming summer.
Yeah, yay! I can't wait until it's 106 every day and then I want to die.
Because of the myth of global warming.
The myth.
Yes.
It's a myth.
Well, it was The president said, and
I know, and I believe our president.
Our president. Sean. Is he your president or not? Believe it.
I do. He's in North Korea. He didn't have to prepare. He just went.
My commander of cheese.
Commander of cheese.
Commander of cheese.
Dude.
So not good.
It's not a good thing.
Zane was the sick one, you guys.
It was me the whole time.
For those of you that were wondering.
I bet I fooled you.
It was not anybody except for Zane.
I had my money on the studio audience.
But now, it's definitely Josh.
Oh.
Yeah, if I get sick, I'm going to kind of be really annoyed about it.
I know you are. I'm sorry.
And I'm not going to even, like, pretend to like not complain about it. Like, I'm just
Oh, yeah, because usually you're so subtle about shit like that.
Yeah.
Very reserved.
If I don't feel good, you're going to fucking hear about it.
We know.
One time, Josh was sick, and I brought him homemade chicken soup. And then he didn't eat it.
Wait, I didn't?
Yeah, you were like, oh, my cat's knocked it over, and I didn't get to eat any of it.
One time I was sick, that. And Zane didn't bring me anything. It. Actually, more than one time.
Did my cat's really knock it over, or did I just say that?
No, I don't know!
They must have knocked it over, because I would have eaten it. I would have.
I even, like, put it in front of your door. I didn't even come into your house because you're like, I'm gross and sick. And
so that I just, sounds like me.
Ran it up to like in front of your door. And
I do
I
remember that part of it.
That's really interesting.
I know.
Well, this is going to happen again because I'm going to get fucking sick.
I'm going to have to bring him soup.
Save it for next week because you guys took 2 weeks and condensed them into one. So we have to have something to talk about next
week. Oh, they should send us stuff to talk about. Do that.
Yeah, do it at Cracking Spine on Twitter.
And then on the Reddit, go to Cracking the Spine Pod or r/CrackingTheSpinePod.
Yeah. Or email us, crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
Or send us mail to
123 Butts Lane.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah.
Attention, Melania's butt.
Melania's butt.
Right?
Melania's butt. She don't have a butt. Man, that lady don't got no butt.
Everybody's got a butt.
No. Hers probably is just a has flat, a butt. Like a flat, like sad butt. Like a,
there's no need to butt judge her. There's a million other things that you can judge her on.
She's also married to a mobster. So I feel okay with it.
Everybody's got a butt, senor.
Everybody's got a fucking. Oh, man. I could watch that movie. That's how I tell you my mom watched that movie. And I was like, oh.
Fill in for the movie for people who don't know.
Hateful Eight. And I was like, Hateful Eight. I was like, wow, mom. And she's like, yeah, I was like, that's your first Quentin Tarantino movie. And she's like, yeah, I guess so. And I was like, well, what'd you think? And she's like, I didn't like the dick-sucking talk. And I was like, yeah, well, welcome to Quentin Tarantino. Also, yeah.
Your poor mom.
I didn't like all the dick-sucking talk.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. Just be about it.
Yeah,
right? Just show it.
Just show it already.
We pretty much do.
Right?
Like, pretty much show that guy. Slap. Oh, man.
So good. Who can write that movie better?
Nobody. I don't think anyone can write Quentin Tarantino except him.
Dwayne Straczynski. Friend of the show, Dwayne Straczynski.
Maybe.
Who, by the way, if you're in California, this is kind of serious, Dwayne Straczynski has put out on Twitter, his daughter has been diagnosed with leukemia, and if you're in the California, specifically Los Angeles area, there's a big blood drive going on. Actually, if you're anywhere and you're able to donate blood, fucking donate blood.
Yeah. It's good to do.
It is a good thing to do.
His daughter, she's 17 years old, and she's diagnosed with leukemia.
That
and
sucks.
Has been going through chemo, and he's been documenting it on Twitter, and it's rough. And I want to help, but I can't because he left us in Philly.
Well, they make airplanes.
I'm not going to fucking LA.
I'm going to LA.
I'm going to London.
Donate blood. And
I can't donate blood.
Why not?
She weighs like 2 pounds.
Yes.
No, they don't let you weigh.
That's
they don't,
British. You guys are confusing your.
She weighs like 2 halfpennies. How many halfpennies does Zane weigh?
She's weighing like 6 stone.
Zane weighs 0.28 stone.
16 kilograms. Kilograms.
English standard.
All right.
Jaguar.
I feel like we could be done now.
Fish and chips.
Let's watch the royal wedding.
Hey, bitch, eat some fish and chips.
What did they say, bitch?
Am I the bitch?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ow.
Absolutely.
All right. All right.
Talk good more night. Next week.
Check 'em out. Books. Check 'em out. At your library.
Part time.